Good evening. If we'll take our Bible, turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we'll begin there in just a moment. As we consider for this evening, a lesson I like to call about a year ago. Now, we're nearing the end of another calendar year. And I don't know about you, but as we end or near the end of the calendar year, the biggest question on my mind is, where did the year go? Even though this year has seen the flash by, a lot has happened this year, both for me and I'm sure as well for as many of you that are here this evening. As we near the end of the year, we may be looking back over the year that we've had so far with intentions to do things differently next year, hence making our New Year's resolutions. And no, this is not going to be a cliched New Year's resolution type of sermon. I'll do that more towards the end of the month. But December has kind of become a interesting month for me. You know, growing up, it was always my favorite. Between the food, the family, the gift giving, holiday movies, decorations, cooler weather, all that adds up to a pretty amazing month. So far, it's not this December that has been on my mind. It's been last December that has been on my mind. About a year ago, on December 5th, I had one of the craziest days of my life. And usually people who say that follow up with some kind of amazing, wonderful thing that happened. Well, in my case, this happened. Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation. I thought it was going to be another average day of a long drive and a long day on the construction site until things literally turned sideways. What happened, plain and simple, hydroplaning. The road was slick that morning, and it was a curvy road. I started to hydroplane into the oncoming lane, where guess what? There was an oncoming vehicle. So in order not to hit them, tried to regain control, get back in my lane, but ended up hydroplaning into the ditch. Hit one of those yellow signs you see in the left picture there. Flipped a few times because I hit that culvert you may see in that left picture. Had to crawl out the side of the passenger window. As you can see, the car is tipped sideways in that left picture. Good news is I got the day off. Bad news is the car was kind of totaled, which was kind of a bummer for a few months. But hey, the Toyota is an upgrade, so all's well and ends well. The best news of all, seeing that God spared my life that day. Look at the roof of the vehicle on the right picture. Now, I'm kind of a tall guy, so there should have been massive head trauma where this big old dent right here is. Windows got busted out. Should have been shards of glass all through my body. And again, the vehicle flipped. And the EMS said I might have flipped it like 3 times. I felt like I got flung around like getting tackled by a Houston linebacker in a heavy metal concert. And what did I come out with? Nothing more than a scratch on my hand from having to crawl out the passenger side window. I know I'm making a lot of jokes, but I think about this day a lot. I go slow on curves now because they remind me of this day. It don't matter if it's wet. It don't matter if it's dry. Sometimes I can close my eyes and even remember every single sensation. It happened so fast, but man, what a jarring experience. Think about that day a lot because things could have turned out a lot differently. And I give all the glory to God. I cannot imagine Him not being here in these moments of disaster, protecting and preserving. And no, I'm not trying to make this story time, but I wanted this story to to lead into giving us a few things to think about this evening, about the sanctity of life. Because let's face it, events like these, they teach us a lot. They can give us a lot to think about. They give us so much to thank God for, too. And I hope to use your time tonight to turn your minds to the value of your life, the value of your soul, and the value of making the most of the time that you got, because you don't know when something like this can take away your life. First of all, God created us. And we are precious and valuable in His eyes. One thing I've observed, and maybe you've observed as well in the world around us today, is that the world around us today has lost the idea of the sanctity of life. Most of the world around us are a bunch of pretenders that pretend that they want to end certain issues. They want the world to be a better place, but they don't actually do anything about it, or they come up with the wrong solutions for the wrong issues. They care more about protecting abortion, for example, than protecting the lives of innocent children in the womb. They care more about protecting assisted suicide than doing what they can to help others see the value of their own life. In recent years, society has built itself on ruining others' self-esteem, ruining everyone's sense of their sanctity of life, ruining their self-worth, and pretending to care about the issues they've created and have always been involved in. The world around us has done everything in their power to decrease the sense of value from everyone's lives. And guess what? We deal with that too. Have you ever felt like your life doesn't matter in the slightest? You ever felt like you have no purpose whatsoever? You ever come to the point where you stopped caring about your own life? Whether you succeeded or failed, whether you lived or died? Ever felt like you would be better off dead than alive? I know many of us have felt that way before, and I know I've felt that way before. But the fact of the matter is, life is sacred. No matter how the world acts, no matter what we may feel, no matter what we're going through, your life matters in the eyes of God. Your life is sacred in the eyes of God. Consider these words of David as we see on the screen. And if you're in Psalm 139, we'll read verses 13 through 16 here. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. David understood the sanctity of life. He understood his own life as being sacred, as being valuable in the eyes of God. You see the language. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. You know my days. You built my frame. Recognize from Scripture that God made man in His image. And all life comes from Him. Without Him, looking at each and every one of us as sacred and worth creating, none of us would be here. But the fact of the matter is that you are sacred in the eyes of God. You are here because you are precious in the eyes of God. That's something we take for granted from time to time. We just feel like just another person, just another one of the literally 8 billion people in the world. What difference does it make? What difference do I make being here? It's easy to lose your sense of self-worth and the idea of how sacred your life actually is, because it's easy to think you're not special in any sense of the word. And we think that because God sees all as sacred, none are actually sacred, but that's not true. Of course, we're all sacred in His eyes. We should never forget that. Even though it is easy in this day and age to forget how sacred your own life is, it is good to recognize that your life has value in the eyes of God. Forgetting that, that is a path of darkness, of despair, of forgetting your life that has value in the eyes of God. That will lead to terrible thoughts within you. That will trap you in your own negativity. Trust me on that. Someone who didn't see much value in their life for a long time. Such mindsets are hard to shake. What helps is knowing that God sees you as sacred. That He has showed us sanctity of life within Scripture and the care that He has for each and every one of us. How can any one of us treat our own lives without value when we know that? Well, in case we're still not convinced, let's consider how God is present in your life, even when it doesn't seem like He is near. He is always present. There are times in our lives where we can very plainly see the Lord's work in our own lives. We see when He blesses us. We see when He answers our prayers. We see when He protects us. We see when He provides for us. We always see the great things that He does in our own lives. And it is beautiful to look at our lives and see Him involved. And see Him going with us. We should be thankful for that fact. Because He chooses to be involved. He chooses to listen to us. He chooses not to be far from us. But there are times when it very well does feel like He is far from us. Sometimes we don't always see when He blesses us. Sometimes it feels like He's not answering when we feel like He should answer us, how we want Him to answer us. Sometimes we feel like He's too busy for us. But that doesn't change the facts. The facts are, as we've already established, He sees your life as sacred. And that He never leaves us or forsakes us. He is never far from us. Yes, there are times where it does seem like He is far from us. Remember Abraham? Abraham's story feels like it goes in quick succession because we have it all back to back within the chapters of Genesis. But in actuality, there are sometimes years, maybe even a decade or so, in between times when God would speak with Abraham. We don't know what goes on in between. We don't know if God and Abraham ever spoke at all during those times of biblical silence between the chapters. Maybe God remained silent for those years, and Abraham just kind of had to chill out and live his life until God spoke to him again. In those moments of silence, or in our case, when the Lord's presence is not as obvious to us, we tend to think that we've been left behind by Him. We may feel like we see within the Psalms that we've been forsaken and feel like He is far from us, that He is not going to help us. But again, that is not the case. In a different Psalm, Psalm 145, looking at verses 17 through 21, says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear the cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever." God is one who answers His people. If we're living our lives the way that we should, and we're giving ourselves wholly to God, and we're giving ourselves wholly to living righteously before God, He's going to be there. God is worthy of praise because He hears us. Even in the moments where God feels far away, He's still there. He's still nearby. Even when things aren't going our way. Even when things are hard. Even when it seems like the opposite things of what we want, of what we ask for, are coming to fruition. God is still nearby. whenever I drive for work, I'd pray for guidance and safety. And even though, as we saw earlier, the car was destroyed, I'm still safe. That's the Lord's work. See that in your own lives. See that despite the bad that is going on, despite whatever you may be going through, God is still there, and He is still going to bring you through. But another thing we must realize is that our time is limited. And whenever you have a near-death experience like this, it really puts into perspective the limited time we're given. Again, as kind of talked about earlier, life is precious. It's sacred. Life should be treated with love and care, not as something that could be thrown away or not taken seriously. Limited time that we've been given should tell us a lot about how precious our time on the earth is. We're given 70 to 80 years, more if we're lucky, but sometimes less. Sometimes sickness or accidents overtake before we reach a good old age. Sometimes we even last until the 90s or even get to 100. Our lives on earth are meant to be lived to the fullest. And no, I'm not talking about that in the way the world will tell you to live your life to the fullest. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to see, a lot to give God the glory for, a lot of work to do in His kingdom, for His kingdom. That's what we're talking about when we say live the life to the fullest. Living life to the fullest as a child of God. A lot of people out in the world that we need to meet, impact their lives. Let them impact our lives so that we can bring them here. Show them the Lord. Show them the love of God and of Jesus Christ. Although life on earth is temporary, the fact of the matter is that life is meant to be a blessing to us. Although this is temporary, although all life on earth will come to an end someday, although God will bring us into eternity someday, that does not make life on earth something that's not worth the living. We must recognize the temporal nature of life on earth. Consider what James says in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in arrogance. All such boasting is evil." We recognize not every plan we make is going to see fruition. We may plan everything out, and sometimes the unforeseen events force us to change or cancel our plans. All of life on earth is temporary, and nothing is guaranteed, not even tomorrow. Life is a vapor. You put a boiling pot of water on the stove, much steam comes out, and then when you turn the stove off, it's gone. That's life, brother. Our very lives are that vapor. It's around for a very short time and then vanishes away. What are we doing with that life? If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Saying this is something we may not always fully appreciate, especially when we first come to this verse. When we first come to this verse, we're like, I should be able to have all these plans. I should be able to say, tomorrow, this is a guarantee. I should be able to say, this, that, or the other. That's the arrogance he's talking about. Sometimes we don't get to see tomorrow. But being able to have a saying like God, if the Lord wills, if He wills, if God wills, that's something we should appreciate, because knowing that God is involved should not be a source of intimidation. It should not be a source of unappreciation, because we don't get to say, yes, tomorrow is a guarantee. Yes, 10 years from now is a guarantee. Knowing that God is involved should provide us with comfort, great comfort. when we go to work and a crazy event like this happens, we think it's going to be a normal day. And things turn out differently. But God is involved. And I'm thankful in my case God was involved, because things could have turned out a lot differently. Our time here is limited, and we should be thankful for every day that we have been given here. Yes, life is hard here. Yes, the world around us is turning to evil. Yes, things don't go our way. That's okay. This life is still a blessing. There's still a lot to be thankful for. And all in all, we are thankful because we know where we're going. But before we get there, this limited time that we have here, this limited life that we have here, make sure that you are making the most of the time you have here, because your life may be shorter than you realize. Again, that day could have ended a lot differently for me than it actually did. And maybe some of you have had a day like that. Maybe some of you had an accident that had long-term effects. Maybe you had a sickness that ended up with long-term effects. Maybe one situation or another didn't end as well as you wanted it to. Many of us may not appreciate the life that we have until something happens to that life, and then it's too late. That's not what we want, brethren. Yes, life gets hard. It doesn't go our way. It isn't what we expect or want sometimes. But it is worth the living. And we must make the most of the time that we've been given. In Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." To walk circumspectly means to walk diligently, to walk with care. Too many people choose not to have care in how they live their lives and not to make the most of the days that they've been given, thinking that they have all the time in the world. Paul encourages us not to walk in such a way. Instead, we are to be mindful. We are to be careful. We are to be diligent. We are to make sure that we're making the most of the time that we've been given. Why? So that we don't waste the precious time that we've been given. The days are evil. They're full of distractions. They're full of things that take away those precious minutes rather than allow us to use those minutes for the best. So we're told to redeem the time. When we waste time, we can't get it back, brother. Don't waste your life. Your life is sacred and precious in the eyes of the Lord, and your life could be gone in a moment's notice. And it really puts into perspective, as one who knows, there's a day where their life could have gone, could have been gone in a moment's notice. That wreck of mine could have been game over for me, brethren. And being able to live through it really called me to look at my own life, to make sure I'm living it in the way that I should and not spend any more time wasting it. Admittedly, I'm still working on that. And I know we all are too. So I want to encourage you today. I want to be there for you today, because this life is precious, brethren. Your life is precious in the eyes of God. That's why we're here today, because we see the value of our own lives. We see the value of our lives because we don't want our eternal soul to see condemnation. We are here today because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We are here tonight because we believe that God gave us life. And we know full well that there is a day coming where we will be brought into eternity. And when we are here tonight because we want to be with the Lord on that day. We are here tonight because we are striving to live our lives free from sin. We are striving to live our lives that are worthy of the Lord, that are filled with righteousness and godliness. So my question to you is, what are you doing with your life? Are you treating your life as precious as God sees it? Are you living your life to the fullest potential as a child of God, as His precious creation? Are you living your life right in the sight of God? Consider all this very seriously, very carefully, because as we said, we don't know when the end comes. Whether that be the end of our life or whether Jesus shall return with that glory, with His angels, and bring us home. We want to be sure that we're going to be with Him on that day. Don't let time run out without knowing your life is precious. Do not let time run out without treating your life as precious. Do not let time run out without living to your fullest potential as a child of God. As we leave this place, live for righteousness. Live for godliness. Live with the appreciation that He created you and that He's going to bring you home someday. And if you are here tonight and are not yet a Christian, we want to invite you to that. We want to encourage you to be one with that. If you are here this evening and have heard the Word and have come to believe it, we want to encourage you to act upon it, to repent of your sins, to turn away from sinful living. That is not a life of living to the fullest potential in the eyes of God. That is a life wasted. Leave your sins behind. Turn to God. Confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God, and you can be baptized, washed free of your sins, raised to walk a new life with God, free from sin. And if you should lose your life tonight, you'll be with Him when eternity comes. And if you're here tonight and already are a Christian, but have allowed sin in your life, you've allowed temptation to overtake you, you've allowed bad habits to overtake you, again, you're not living to your fullest potential. Yes, we make mistakes. And we want to encourage you to repent of your sins, to turn away from those sins once again, to leave those behind once again, turn back to God, confess Him, to Him, your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And if you feel the need to confess before your brethren here tonight, we are here for you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to meet you with love and lift you up. We're all trying to make it there on that day. Let's be there for each other. Let's work with each other. Let's encourage one another always. When you see a brother that is seeing their own life as not as precious, be there for them. Lift them up. If you're subject to the invitation or need prayers of this congregation for help in any way, please come as we stand and we sing.